In Silicon Valley, no premise goes unchallenged, not even death.
The idea of digital immortality, I mean, that's very seductive. I mean, I don't want to die. I don't want to go anywhere. And I'd love to have a brand new body with a lot more hair.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Tech's richest men have invested heavily in life extension technologies. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison, Google's founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin, and investor Peter Thiel. That's led some to observe that anti-aging technology will probably only apply to the very, very rich. One of those observers is the writer Stanley Bing. He's been writing satirical observations about wealth and business for more than 20 years. Now he's tackling science fiction and life extension in a new novel called Immortal Life.
For as long as there have been dreamers, there has been the dream of living forever. Each century, I guess, has had its own people that thought they could try it and were well-financed. I mean, you have Ponce de Leon, who, looked for the Fountain of Youth. And you have Walt Disney reportedly cutting off his head and having it maintained for later use should cryogenics come into maturity. And more recently, you have the whole idea of uploading a person's consciousness into a mainframe and then downloading it again into a receptacle, a living creature, a person, a created person, and therefore attaining digital immortality. And it will, of course, be very costly and be available only to the rich.
So we should say here, this seems like a good place to point out that Stanley Bing is a pen name and that your real name is Gil Schwartz. And in your other life, you serve as senior executive vice president and chief communications officer for CBS. How does that work inform your novel?
I would say my experience in the world of business made it possible for me to write in that venue. One of the central themes and one of the central scenes in the book is a monster business meeting where the fate of the world is at stake, but it looks a lot like a bunch of extremely elderly people drinking Diet Coke and chatting.
But I feel like you are more likely than the average novelist to actually run into the type of titan that is portrayed in this book. I mean, when you talk about the gross narcissists who run the atavistic corporate state, I gotta feel like you have met one of those.
Well,
or more.
Look,
and are you trying to send them a message?
They're not paying attention.
Hmm.
My experience with moguls and with sort of large scale personalities, it's not really any different than people who work for a boss anywhere, because they're not on a different planet. They've just gotten so, unchallenged and powerful that, their personalities become warped.
And then what about just the slightly simpler question of what are the implications for society if people live so long? That old ideas might persist, but institutional knowledge would be strong. What are the sort of trade-offs there?
Futurists have talked about this a bit. You'll have mega families with many generations living under the same roof. It will completely change the whole idea of a career. People will have more than one, more than two, more than three. It'll be exceedingly difficult to be young because we're seeing that already now, how hard it is for people in their 20s to get a job now. Also, tech will be dedicated to life extension. I mean, is that really what we should be spending all of our money on this stuff? But the idea of digital immortality, I mean, that's very seductive. I mean, I don't want to die. I don't want to go anywhere. And I'd love to have a brand new body with a lot more hair.
That's Stanley Bing, author of the book Immortal Life, a soon-to-be true story. In his day job, Gil Schwartz is the chief communications officer for CBS. Not every tech billionaire, I should say here, is obsessed with life extension. In a Reddit Ask Me Anything session in 2015, Microsoft founder Bill Gates said it was, quote, egocentric for rich people to fund things so that they can live longer, while malaria and tuberculosis still kill people all over the world. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. And hey, thank you for listening. We take this work seriously at Marketplace, but we like to have some fun too, making the news relatable and relevant in a way that's easy to understand without talking down to you. And most importantly, it's journalism you know you can trust to be accurate and unbiased. As a nonprofit news organization, we are on a mission that drives what we do every single day to increase economic intelligence across the country. And now we're counting on your help so we can not only keep doing what we're doing, but do even more of it and get this kind of news and information in front of more people. So for as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. Donate today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.